Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
Well, this morning I was chatting briefly with Lee Haney over here, and I used to be a youth pastor, so I have a special heart for youth pastors. And I remember one occasion, we were at summer camp, just like our youth are going on summer camp here in a few weeks. And the camp that we were at was in the Redwoods of California. And they had this kind of ropes course, but they also had something known as a trust fall. And so they got our little group, I was there with our youth, and they said, all right, we want you to get one of the youth to stand on this stand, and everyone else lines up below her, and she's going to fall backwards with her eyes closed, trusting that the group is going to catch her. And so we were there all lined up, and she was up top, and she was probably the most nervous, anxious, scared person in our youth group. Reluctantly, she decided to go up there, and as she fell backwards, we caught her legs, her hips, and her body, but no one caught her head. And so her neck snapped back, and then she was like, you know, in pain because she had strained her neck, and we had to take her to the nurse's station, and she was icing her neck and was kind of out of it for the next day and a half or so. And so to show you what that looks like, I've made this video.
Here we go, one, two, three.
Ready?
Ready.
Falling.
Fall on.
Oh. All right, that really hurt.
Go one.
All right, thank you.
Two.
So that was a trust fall, and I feel bad for that youth pastor at the very end with his selfie falling and hurting himself. So here's the purpose of a trust fall. It's to build trust among teams. And obviously with these failures and our failure that it's kind of hard to build trust with those who let you down. And we're going to look at this today as we continue our series, Equipped to Lead. And if you take your notes out, leadership is influence. It's the ability to influence the decisions, attitudes, and motions of others. That's what leadership is. Leadership is influence. And sociologists have said that even the most shy to themselves person will in their lifetime influence at least 10,000 people. So we're going to look at over the next, this week and next week, is really how to use that influence for God and his kingdom. We also finished up last week with permissional leadership, and permissional leadership allows any of us, even if we're not in a position of authority, to have leadership and influence over people. And the currency of permissional leadership we're going to look at today is trust. Leadership is influence, and trust is the currency of influence. So trust is a currency of influence, where people say, I trust you, and because I trust you, I'm going to follow you. Because I trust you, I'm going to give you influence in my life. So leadership is influence, and trust is the currency of influence. We're going to look at today, if you turn your Bible to Psalm 78, how we can grow in that trust, how we can get more trust from people. What are the sources of trust? Psalm 78. So again, leadership is influence, and the currency of permissional leadership is trust. Do the people in my class, my coworkers, do they trust me? As an elder, as a deacon, as a pastor, the people trust me. Psalm 78, let me give you a little context of it. Psalm 78 is known as a historical psalm. And the reason why it's written is so that the people of God realize and recognize, and hopefully we'll see it too, that even when we are unfaithful to God, God is faithful to us. Man, when I was preparing the sermon, I expected more of a reaction. Even when we are unfaithful to God, God is always faithful to us. Amen?
Amen.
Last night I had the pleasure, my wife and I, of going to Sister Bernice Fontenot's 75th birthday party. There's Sister Bernice. and y'all, I'm going to just say this right now, because someone asked me, Pastor, why y'all dressed up? Is this some special occasion today? I literally wore this suit last night, put it on the sofa, went to bed, and there it was again. I put it right back on. So, but one thing I learned last night at Sister Bernice Fontenot's 75th birthday party is this. Has God been faithful to you? Amen, right? God has always been faithful to her in spite of, right? And so Psalm 78 is written to the people of Israel and to us saying, you know what? Even when we've been unfaithful to God, God's been faithful to us. And he gives us a history of how God has been faithful to Israel. And he ends it by saying, this is how faithful God has been. God even gave Israel a king by the name of David. So here's, look at verse 70, Psalm 78:70. God also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from the care of the ewes and suckling lambs. He brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So what he says is he gives this historical lesson, is that in the history of Israel and God's faithfulness, God is the one that gave them King David. So here's point number one. God places people in positions of authority. God is the one who places people in positions of authority in colleges, in workplaces, in churches, in countries. God is the one that places people in positions of authority. I was reading Acts 20 this morning in my one-year Bible. And in Acts 20, and this is a word of John Agege, and we're some of the deacons, and Aaron Walsh and others who are here, that Paul is leaving for Jerusalem. He says, I don't know what awaits, but I know there's only prison and handcuffs are awaiting me there, but I really don't know what's awaiting me there in Jerusalem, but I feel bound to go, handcuffed to go. But he stops and he says a farewell in Miletus to the elders at the church of Ephesus. And he reminds them, saying, hey, your job, your call as elders, he says to me, to John and other elders here, is for you to feed and care for the flock, to shepherd the flock, to feed and shepherd the flock. And he gives them this reminder, and he gives us this reminder for all of us, even Mark, who's back here as a deacon, is the Holy Spirit is the one who appointed you as leaders in the church. Are y'all with me? It's the Holy Spirit that's appointed you to be leaders in the church. Look at Daniel 2. So near the end of the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 2. We looked at Daniel about 3 or 4 years ago. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. So God is the one that appoints. He's the one that places people in positions of authority, whether they're believers or not. Look at verse 20, Daniel 2:20. Daniel said, let the name of God, actually look at verse 19. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, verse 20, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. Verse 21, it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. So there, Daniel says, you know what? Nebuchadnezzar and others, it's God the one that places them and removes them. Presidents and emperors and mayors and governors, God is the one that raises them up and removes them as well. Look at Romans 13, if you're the New Testament scholarly type. Romans chapter 13. And this is Paul speaking of, in the context of an ungodly, non-Christian Roman government. Look at Romans 13, verse 1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority is opposed to the ordinance of God, and they who oppose will receive condemnation upon themselves. Verse 3. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Verse 4, for it is a minister of God or servant of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister or servant of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Verse 5, therefore it is necessary to be in subjection not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Verse 6, for because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. So he says, even to us, New Testament believers, that government and governing authorities are placed there by God. Now notice this, going back to Psalm 78. Notice this. Verse 70 and 71 says, he also chose David his servant, all right, and took him from the sheepfolds, from the cares of the ewes and suckling lambs. He brought him to this, to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So this is a principle I want to give you from Luke 16:10, that David was faithful in shepherding animals, sheep, little lambs. And because he was faithful in those little things, God entrusted him with much more. Are y'all with me? And so God is the one that places people in positions of authority. But this is what God is looking for amongst his people. He's looking for faithfulness. He's looking for faithfulness. Everyone wants to be the CEO, the big baller, the pastor, whatever, but they don't want to pay the cost and make the sacrifice to show themselves faithful to God. I have an illustration here. I'm glad he's here. Judge Clyde Luchtag is here today with his lovely wife, Cindy. Many years ago, had the opportunity to baptize him and then to marry he and his wife. And he was a faithful servant in the county attorney's office, just a faithful servant there doing the best he could in the county attorney's office. And so one day when there's an opening for a seat of judge in Harris County, they appointed him to become judge. Because he was faithful in the county attorney's office, they saw that track record of faithfulness, and I believe God saw that. And because of that, this new opportunity opened for him. Are y'all with me? And so this is what happened. He said, you know what? I'm going to get an investiture, which they will make me officially a judge in Harris County. And I've asked for you to come and be a part of my investiture. And I said, all right, great. And he said, there's going to be like board members and city council people, and all these people are going to be there. And they've given me the freedom, and you the freedom, to say whatever you want to say. I'm like, I can actually teach and preach from the Bible, right? And he's like, yeah, go for it. And so if you remember there, Judge Clyde, I came from Romans 13, the verse we just read. And there were all these city council members and all these other dignitaries. And I said, you know what? You all are here today. Judge Clyde is here today, not because of people voting and all that, though people had to vote, is because God has placed you in this position of authority. And he is going to hold you responsible and accountable for the authority he gives you. And you should actually be scared, right? You should be scared and fearful of God that he's given you his position. And so the thing is this, every position of authority, medical school, dean, president, superintendents in the schools are put there by God. This past Thursday night, I was at Lionel Jellin's house, Lionel Shark Jellin's. He's one of our elders. And they had the kickoff rally for Matt Barnes. And Matt Barnes is one of our deacons, and he's running for a position as a trustee on the HISD school board. And so as I was there talking to Matt Barnes before this, he said, now I'm about to speak. I'm about to speak. And I said, you know what, Matt, for the last almost 7.5 years, you've heckled me every time I preached. And I said, I just got one word for you, brother. I said, payback. And this is what Matt Barnes did. Matt Barnes was just basically sharing with all of us there. He said, you know what? I've been faithful. I've been on several boards of schools and colleges and all that. I've been faithful in consulting with parents and educators and school districts. And so I'm asking you to now, and he asked everyone there for this, that you would trust me. That you would trust me, and that you would trust me enough to vote for me and help me get elected to become a trustee on the HISD school board. And this is what I'm thinking when he's talking about trust. I'm like, man, you stole that from my sermon last Sunday, right? And I almost heckled him. I almost said, where have I heard that one before, right? But I didn't. I did not. I kept it, you know, PG. I don't want to mess with him, right? But here's the thing again. God is the one that places people in positions of authority, and this is what God is looking for, y'all. God is looking for faithfulness. Faithful to little things, you'll be entrusted much. Luke 16:10. So here's the thing. This verse we're going to look at, verse 72. When the psalmist is writing this, he's not saying, let me give you some principles on leadership, how to become a better leader. What he's doing is describing how David led his people. And from this, I have three principles that will help us gain more trust in people. So here's the first thing. Look at verse 72. So he shepherded them. That word shepherded can be translated cared for them or fed them or ruled over them. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. The word Tom there is integrity. It can mean uprightness, or he's the real deal. He shepherded them, he led them, he cared for them according to the integrity of his heart. Verse 28, the end there, or 72 says, and guided them with his skillful hands. Now, I made these notes on Monday or Tuesday. As I studied some more on Wednesday, I came up with three C's. So there's three sources of trust. And the first one is this. He says, he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. First thing is character, reliability. I will do what I say I will do. That's what reliability is, character, integrity. I will say what I say I will do. That's what integrity is. It's not perfection. It's basically following through on your commitments. And here's what you need to do if you're going to grow in your character or your integrity. So remember CPA. Is number one, commit to follow Christ. Commit to follow Christ. Or just put it this way, commit to be a follower. You cannot be a leader of integrity if you cannot commit to follow Christ and be a faithful follower. So commit to follow Christ. Commit to follow Christ. So the first source of trust is character, because you say, I will do what I say I will do. The second thing is, so CPA is, there should be no public-private distinction. Public-private distinction. So number one, commit to follow Christ. Number two, there should be no public-private distinction. So who you are in private is who you are in public. And who you are in public is who you are in private. What you look on the internet in private is what you look on the internet in public. You should have your passwords, phone passwords, email, and all that available to a select group of people where you say, you know what, I've got nothing to hide. You can go through my stuff because I've got nothing to hide. Who I'm in private, what I do behind closed doors, nothing different. So who you are in public and private. And then number three is this, because we're not perfect, is the A is ask for forgiveness. So commit to follow Christ, public, private is the same, and then ask for forgiveness, because no one in here is perfect. Absolutely no one in here is perfect. And so because we all mess up, being a man or woman of integrity says, you know what, I messed up, I confess my sin, I confess my offense, and I ask you to forgive me. So the first source of trust is character, is reliability. The second one is competence. That end verse, 72, at the end he says, and the word guided can mean led. It's nakah in Hebrew. He led them with his skillful hands. So it's competence, and it's the, I can do what I say I will do. I've got the ability. I've got the technical proficiency to do what I say I'm going to do. So that can include teach you how to do music. That includes how to speak, how to lead, how to teach. The technical proficiency to do what you say, I'm going to do it. Are you all with me? Or even basically the ability to do it. Here's the thing. I've never been invited to a fundraising opportunity where an organization needs millions of dollars for donations. You know why? Because I don't have millions of dollars in donations. So even if I commit to do it, right, they're going to say, all right, now write the check for $1 million. I'll be like, I ain't got it, right? So it's the ability to follow through on what you say you're going to do, the ability to do that. Warren Wiersbe says it this way, integrity and skill need each other, for no amount of ability can compensate for a sinful heart, and no amount of devotion to God can overcome lack of ability. Let me read that again. Integrity and skill need each other, for no amount of ability can compensate for a sinful heart. Pause right there. How many of y'all have ever met engineers, doctors, preachers who are amazingly gifted doctors, engineers, lawyers, and pastors, but morally and ethically and character-wise are like slime buckets, right? Have you met people like that, right? You're like amazed, like this guy's got 3 PhDs, he's amazing, but he lies, he cheats, he's cheating on his wife, right? You know doctors who are amazing, they're on boards, and you're like, this guy's amazing, he's written books and volumes, but you know what? He's arrogant. He always misses meetings. He doesn't care about. Have you all met people like that, right? Right? And I was going to say lawyers, but I guess all lawyers are slimy, so I wouldn't. Just a joke, y'all. Just a joke. All right? So we've all met people who may have technical competence to do stuff. Teach, sing, preach, engineer, science, research, but character-wise, they don't have it. Y'all with me? So it's the competence has to also be there as well.
Let's look at this. The last thing is, look at verse 72 again. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. Here's the last C. That word shepherded is the word care, is the word care. He cared for them according to the integrity, to the character of his heart. So care is the third source of trust, and that's stability. So character is reliability, competence is ability. Care is stability, and this is what it means. I care about you as a person apart from what you do. I care about you as a person apart from what you do. And if you're going to be a leader that engenders trust from people, you've got to be caring. You have to care for them beyond what they can do for you. And I just said that in a very uncaring way. So you've got to do that in a very caring way so that people will engender their trust to you. All right? And y'all know, one of my spiritual gifts is exhortation. So even when I say stuff that's caring, it sounds like, you better do it! And you're like, okay, I'll do it. So care is the other thing. So character, competence, and care are the three sources of trust. When we become people like that, we will find people who say, you know what? I'm giving you permission to influence me. You may not have a position of authority. You may not be the pastor, the CEO, or my manager, or my advisor, but I'm giving you permission to influence me. So, again, the three sources are character, competence, and care. Look at 1 Peter 3:16. 1 Peter 3:16. Oh, before I do that too. So, let me give you some resources here. 1 Peter 3:16. So, if you want to grow in your competence as a leader, I'm reading this book right now, Amplified Leadership by Dan Ryland, 5 Practices to Establish Influence, Build People, and Impact Others for a Lifetime. So Amplified Leadership by Dan Ryland, if you want to grow in your competency side of leadership. But if you want to grow in your character side of leadership, there's a book by Crawford Loritz, one of my favorite preachers and authors, called Leadership as an Identity, and he goes through 4 characteristics of Christian leaders. Now I'm going to do something today, and hopefully no one is trampled to death here. Is there anyone here who needs a summer reading book and can commit to reading this book right here? Because if you are, I'm going to give you this book right now. Is there anyone here you're going to read this summer? All right, come on up, Jazzy. Come on up. Come on up. I expected like more people to want this book, but obviously y'all, okay. But if you don't, here you go, Jazzy. All right, read the book this summer, all right? By Crawford Loritz, Leadership as an Identity. I love it when, Jazz, you're going to be a freshman in high school, right? Yes, all right. When young people say, you know what, I want to grow in my leadership. All right, 1 Peter 3:16 says this, and keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. So he says this, you're going to be slandered and persecuted because of your faith in Christ, but if you are a man or woman of integrity, what comes out of your mouth matches your lifestyle, he says, they're going to be put to shame. They're going to be put to shame when what comes out of your mouth, I'm a Christian, I'm a part of City of Refuge, I read the Bible, I'm praying for you. When those words that come out of your mouth match your actions and your behavior, he says the people that are looking at you who are going to persecute you and slander you will be put to shame. Are y'all with me? All right, but here's the sad thing, and I mentioned this many times before. For many of us, back in the day when I was a kid growing up on Saturday mornings, I was bored. I'd watch those very poorly dubbed kung fu movies, right? Y'all remember those? Like, you fight me, I kill you, and I kill your family, right? And here's what happened with that. What was coming out of their mouth didn't match their actions. Y'all with me? What was coming out of their mouth, they're like, you know, you strike me, left hand. And my right hand. And you're like, that's the left hand, right? It didn't match what was happening. And for a lot of Christians, you know what? That's not matching. I was met with a Christian leader this week, and he said, you know what? I've got this group of people I'm now discipling, and here's my frustration. They all are active churchgoers, and they say, I go to this church, but their lifestyle doesn't match what they believe and what they say, and my job is to disciple them so that they'll grow in their relationship with Christ. Look at Matthew 5:37, first book of the New Testament, Matthew 5:37. Sermon on the Mount. It says this, Matthew 5:37, let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. So he's basically saying, be a man or woman of your word. So if you say yes to commit to do something, but something better comes along, and you've got that fear of missing out, you say, you know what, I said yes to this original commitment, so I'm going to do it. So let your yes be yes, and your no be no. So again, the three sources of trust are, number one, our character, our reliability. Can people rely on us? Number two, our competence. Do we have the ability to do what we say we're going to do? And then number three is care, the stability. Can people, do people know that we genuinely love them and care for them? How many of y'all were involved with Hurricane Harvey cleanup? Anybody involved with Hurricane Harvey cleanup? Five of us. Wow. We're very lack of compassion church. I'm just kidding. I know many of y'all did. I'm just kidding. I know many of y'all did. I don't know about you all, but were any of y'all frustrated with this? I remember going to homes that were flooded by Hurricane Harvey, and it seemed like everything was intact, right? Everything was intact. And the only thing was they said, hey, you know what? We got some water in our house, like 6 inches or a foot, so we need to remove the drywall. You remember that? And I'm like, why remove the drywall? And they said, number one, because there's water in it and the mold is going to get there. But here's the other thing. Drywall, if you know, is just calcium put between two pieces of paper. That's all it is. So by nature, it's already really crumbly. But when the water gets in it, right, it gets even more crumbly. Are y'all with me? And so they said, that's why we need to remove all this, drywall. I was going to call it whiteboard. All this drywall, because of the fact it's all gotten really flaky. And here's the thing, it's gotten so bad that even if we paint over it, it'll still come off. And even if we try to nail something in or do more construction, it's all going to fall right through. And you know what God began to speak to me as we were doing reconstruction? Is that there's a lot of people that God is trying to nail a leadership position to your life. God is trying to give you a greater promotion, a greater authority. He's trying to nail that to your life. But you know what keeps it from sticking? Your flakiness. People can't depend on you and rely on you. And you're not faithful with the little things, and you're asking God to give you even more. It's getting real quiet in here, right? And so God is looking and observing your faithfulness of where you are right now, and based on that will open up more opportunities for you and will engender again trust from people. Here's some questions and discussion for your community groups. Number one is this. Why do you think the number one trait employees look for in their leaders is character? They surveyed thousands of employees around the world, and they found out the number one thing that people look for in their boss, in their CEO, in their manager is character. Why do you think that is? Number two, ask some close friends or coworkers this question. Am I reliable? Based on their answer, ask God to show you where you need to grow. And then finally, number three, what are some areas of skill that you can grow in? Because all of us, I believe, can grow in our proficiencies and skills, whether it's research or speaking or leading people. What are some areas that you need to grow in your technical competence in? Here's a leadership principle today is no faith, no follow. If people don't have faith in you, if they don't trust you, they will not follow you. No faith, no follow. No faith, no follow. No faith, no follow. Let me mention this too since we have time. So here's the thing. Number one is commit to follow Christ, CPA, commit to follow Christ, public, private, and then ask for forgiveness. Commit to follow Christ. For those of you who are praying about joining a church, joining this church or another church, here's my cautionary tone. Be careful. The people you follow are who you're going to become like. The people you follow are who you're going to become like. There's a church I know of that the pastor got divorced, and a friend of mine said, isn't it funny that when that pastor got divorced, a rash of divorces followed in that church? So be careful who you follow. Many years ago, I was driving on the highway, stop and go traffic, and I was caught behind this garbage truck that was full of garbage. And so 5 miles an hour, we sped up to 45 miles an hour, back down to 5, up to 60, back down to 5. And this is what I noticed as we were going along this highway, is as I followed behind this garbage truck, all of a sudden a banana peel landed on my windshield. Plastic bags landed on my hood. And I got angry because I'm like, man, look at all this garbage sticking to my car, right? And God spoke to me and said, you know what? This is just a picture. That if you follow someone who's full of trash, don't be surprised if some of their trash sticks on you. The Bible says it this way, Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Right? So the first thing that we've got to do is this. Commit to follow Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at next week how we can discipline ourselves to do that in our final series on leadership. So again, no faith, no follow. No faith, no follow. And this is more from permissional leadership. Even if you don't have the position of principal, superintendent, elder, pastor, CEO, whatever it is, no faith, no follow. Let me brag on my daughter, Kimmy, real quick. This is her. On the left there is Shanira Jackson, an actress. And there in the middle there is my daughter. Next to her is Dr. Lena Caruso, who's vice president of intercultural affairs at Southern Nazarene University, where my daughter goes. And there on the right is Dr. Pam Bracken, an English professor for 25 years at Southern Nazarene University. And you're wondering, what's the significance of this? And I found out that one of our visitors today, Kobe, is actually from Bethany, Oklahoma, where Southern Nazarene University is located. He grew up 2 minutes away from the campus. Small world. So Kobe will tell you that Southern Nazarene University is a predominantly white evangelical institution. If you've read Christianity Today or any of the Christian news lately, you know about all of the hot water a lot of Christian institutions, predominantly white evangelical Christian institutions, have gotten into over race and politics. Y'all know that? If you don't, just Google like Christianity Today and you'll see all the problems that these schools are having dealing with the issue of race, systemic racism, and some of the conflicts they're having on campus. And they're trying to bring more and more awareness that as gospel people, as kingdom people, we should be the ones who are at the tip of the spear in talking about these things. Amen? And seeking reconciliation between God, but also reconciliation amongst people. Y'all with me, right? So here's the thing. Dr. Lena Caruso, with a scarf on, she came to the school about a year and a half ago, now about 2 years ago. And she's been trying at this predominantly white evangelical institution to talk more about culture and race. And so then Dr. Pam Bracken has been doing the same thing for over 25 years. And the school's only about like 1,400 students, so it's not a gigantic school. And so they said, you know what, let's do this. Dr. Bracken said, let's get Shanira Jackson, who does this one-act play. She plays the roles of Sojourner Truth, Zora Neale Hurston, Clementine Hunter, and Fannie Lou Hamer. She plays all four women in one play and talks about civil rights and systemic racism in a very entertaining and engaging way. And so they said, let's do it, let's bring her here. And so then my daughter was in Dr. Bracken's English class. And so here she is, half Japanese, half black, on the volleyball team, RA, has some other leadership positions. And so she said, I want you to be my intern and be in charge of marketing this event. All right, marketing this event. So here's the thing. She's a woman of color in a predominantly white evangelical institution. She has no position of authority. She's just an intern, y'all, just an intern. And so they said, if we had like 100 people show up to this thing, we'll be happy. Like 10% of the student body, if they came, we'd be happy. But this is what my daughter did. She's built trust with her teammates, with her classmates, with other coworkers there at SNU, at Southern Nazarene University. She's getting volleyball team. She's in the Honors College as well. And so she went to various professors and other leaders and said, we've got this program coming up, Ain't I a Woman? And I would love to invite you to come and be a part of this. And so she said the night they had the event with Shanira Jackson, they had over 400 students show up. And they were blown away by that. Because they would have been happy with just 100 students, but they had 400 students show up to this. And so this is the picture they took afterwards. And they said, or she said, Dr. Caruso, who'd been there a year and a half, was crying. She said, you have done more in 3 months or 4 months than I've done in a year and a half to talk about race and culture on this campus. And she said this, the day you graduate from here, you've got a job. You've got a job. And so my daughter later said, well, you know, I'm graduating in 3 years. I'm playing volleyball and I got a fourth year. I've got a scholarship thing. So she said, all right, you can be my graduate assistant. We'll pay for you to get a master's degree and you can finish your volleyball season career here as well, right? And so she used her permissional leadership to engender the trust of others to say, you know what, we're having this event. I know it's difficult to talk about race and systemic racism and culture. I understand that. But we're inviting you to be a part of this conversation. And again, over 400 students and professors and faculty came to this Ain't I a Woman event. So again, that's the power of permissional leadership, and its gain, the currency is trust, and that's developed by, number one, character, number two, competency, and number three, care. Do you care for me? Can I trust you? Are you reliable, and can you do the job? Let's pray. God, I'm so grateful for my daughter, and I know that it's all you. It's all you, God. I have far outkicked my coverage with her, God. She's just a blessing that I know is from you, and thank you for grace as well and all that you're doing in her life. God, I do pray for all of us here, God, whether we're in a Christian college or whether we're in a medical school or whether we're in corporate world or education at University of Houston or at Rice. God, you want us to use our influence that you've given us. Sociologists tell us, God, that we will influence 10,000 people at least in our lifetime. So, God, I pray that we would be the kingdom influence, a Christian leader. So, God, I pray now for each person here, like King David, who led his people with both care, character, and competence. God, that you would help us to grow in those three areas as well. And then, God, as you find us faithful in the little, faithful in the everyday, faithful in the mundane, faithful behind closed doors, faithful when we're not recognized, God, that you would open up more and more positions for us so that we can have kingdom influence, kingdom leadership, God, and lead people to Jesus Christ and transform our world as well for your kingdom's sake. So God, help us to grow in that. Help us to grow in our character, competence, and care to love you and to love others. And we ask it all in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen, amen.